So once again, welcome, good morning, and happy Father's Day to everyone as we celebrate Father's Day. I have great memories of my father and growing up, of all the support that he provided, how he was so often present in events and all that took place in my life, how he was there to provide relief and assistance to my mother whenever that was required. One particularly stressful day for my mother, caused by my brother and myself, led to when my father returned from a full day of work, of her sending us out of the house and down to the park to play baseball. Now, it happened to be a particularly hot day. So my father had worked all day, had gotten up early in the morning, had come home, and now he's sent out with his two unruly sons to play baseball in the heat. And so that as he's pitching to us and we're batting and we're practicing and he's sweating away, but he's doing the best that he can, a passerby goes by and laughs and says, "Who's winning?" I yell out that, "I am." My brother says, "No, it's me." My father then responded by saying, "No, their mother is." And so I have a great many of those memories similar to that, but also I have what I would describe as a healthy fear. A healthy fear. After all, you have to think for a moment that my parents didn't know what they would get with me. So they had to keep an eye on me, had to watch me, correct my behavior when it was required. For when I was a young boy, I often found trouble. Most often I was picking on my younger brother. But there are probably also those times when I would ignore the requests that my mother made. And also when I would venture off beyond prescribed boundaries that I had in my youth. One of the things that my mother did was during the course of those days, particularly in the summertime when we were home, was to keep notes. And so then, when I was misbehaving, she would write in her notebook. I would ask her then, "Well, what are you writing? What are you writing? You don't need to write anything down. See, I'm not doing it anymore." Because when my father returned from work, he was the enforcer. He was the one who would dish out disciplinary action. And so, when I was the cause of trouble, that meant awaiting the early evening hours for the return of the enforcer. When I reached my teenage years, I think by then my parents realized I wasn't going to burn down the school. I wasn't going to rob a bank. I was getting pretty good grades in school, and most of the time was spent playing sports and games and so forth. And then the time came when I was even allowed to grow my hair over my ears. And my wardrobe consisted of colorful bell-bottom slacks. And I was able to purchase shoes with a 2-inch heel on them. Remember, this was the early 1970s. And you know what that was like, many of you. You know, and during those days, there was the occasional broken curfew or maybe a clash of perspective with parents. But the role of the enforcer lessened. The relationship was changing. There is a comic strip for Father's Day that you may have seen where the teenage son is telling his father, I made you something for Father's Day. The father asked what that was. And the son said, 3 good decisions. And so there was change that took place. The change continues even more when I went off to college. The role of the enforcer was really no more. But we had settled into a relationship with comfortable respect and often reflected on how the roles had changed. When Paul writes his letter to the Romans, he's writing about a transition from the wrath of God to peace with God. Now, as Paul writes, he recognizes and passes along that God didn't change. And certainly, humanity didn't change. There was a disciple, it is said, that went to his master and said to them, Master, take me to the realm of perfect peace. The master replied to his disciple, if I take you there, it will no longer be peaceful. And so humanity didn't change. So how is it there's this transformation of the relationship from wrath to peace? The concept of God's wrath was emphasized because of human sinfulness. For sinfulness placed all of humanity under the constant pressure that the power of God could destroy. After all, God created, so God could also then destroy. And sinful humanity lived under that pressure. For human failure exposed hostility to God's law, to the covenant that God had established with His people and sustained through generations. Humanity's relationship with God was marked by disunity. And so humanity carried a healthy fear. And this reality needed to be removed for true fellowship, for a true relationship between humankind and God. And as Paul writes, it was accomplished through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the reconciling work of Jesus, our relationship with God was set right. And as Paul writes, then we can have peace. Peace with God now marks this new relationship, that we could stand in a right relationship with God. Jesus does not change God, but changes our understanding, our human understanding of our relationship with God. We see how God's love calls us into this relationship, a relationship that we have never deserved to enter, a relationship that is marked by God's grace. And the gift of that grace is the expression of God's love and how Christ died for us. In Christ's death, the sacrificial blood of the Lamb was spent in order to heal the broken covenant relationship. And so therefore we share in an eternal relationship. Eternal life is in hand. And as we live, we wait for the fulfillment. We have an absolute certainty for looking forward. And yet we will stumble along the way in this ongoing relationship. I share with you the story of a father who was walking down the hallway and passed his son's room. as he looked inside the room, he was astonished to find that it was clean. It was all picked up and the bed was made, and then he noticed there that on the pillow of the bed was an envelope. And the envelope was addressed to Dad. With some dread, he opened the envelope and read the letter that was inside. And the letter said this: "Dear Dad, with great regret and sorrow, I'm writing you. I have eloped with my new girlfriend and wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I have real passion for Stacy, and she is so nice. I know you don't appreciate her, and I know she's much older than me, but we will be happy. For she owns a trailer in the woods, and there's a stack of firewood that will last us all winter long. So don't worry, Dad. I'm 16. I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I'm sure I'll be back to visit. Love, your son, John. P.S. Dad, none of this is true. I'm over at Dennis's house. P.P.S. I just wanted to remind you there are worse things in life than a school report card. It's in the center drawer of the desk. Call me when it's safe to come home. But we stumble along the way, and as with God, I'm reminded of the constant, never-changing relationship with my Father. For in that relationship was my Father's love. And then later in life, I recognized how much He owed me. Because after all, I was responsible for making Him a grandfather. Amen.